This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, here we go on a Thursday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. We have made it to all the madness, about an hour and 10 minutes away from the start of what will be a four-day stretch of chaos. Madness, they say,
nothing
actually.
But tournaments.
Yes. I can't wait, man. I can't wait. We brought in the TV. We got the TV. You know, this TV is used once a year. It is brought in the studio. We should just leave it in here permanently, honestly. Just leave it right there. It's perfect.
But what would we put on it under normal circumstances?
What we used to have back in the day on the other TVs, you know, just SportsCenter, NFL Network, you know, whatever. Just be nice for you and I. We can just easily glance to the right instead of having to look up over in the corner. For the TV that I normally face doesn't work, so I don't get to see the TV.
Fairness, the one I can see is not great, and it's about the size of Michael Scott's flat screen, and it's all the way in the corner, so
yeah,
this one will definitely work. We can get the multi-view going later.
Yeah,
completely changes the game as well, as you know, because once you get a couple games going, get a little juice happening, you know?
You have a little bit more time to enter the Cody and Gold Bracket Challenge. It's one of your final warnings, okay? You were sent an email if you joined to submit your brackets. A lot of you have joined the bracket pool but haven't submitted your brackets. You're running out of time. You got about an hour or so to do that. The text line is full of people asking for
Drew
to
send get busy.
The Cody and Gold bracket link. Have fun with that.
Have fun with that. The best I can, I promise.
There's a backlog of at least 40 texts, I think, for the morning show.
40 texts?
When I was in with Fesco and Dusty, or I guess Dusty and Mac today, when I was on their show about 20 minutes ago, they were asking why everybody's texting in. It sounds like Mac's been bombarded with texts all day, all morning. So thank you, Mac, for handling that. But Drew...
Has he been sending people the link?
Well, they didn't have the link. In fairness, right?
Yeah, so, I didn't know.
Yeah, back in the text line.
So
login,
Drew
people.
Will try to get you taken care of. If not, also on Twitter, X, at Drew B. Nix. I mean, you can tag Cody and I. We can also send you the link. We'll figure it out.
I'll
it's just easier for
I
Drew
can,
to do
everybody.
It. And join. Remember, the winner's gonna of the bracket challenge will get free wings for a year from Jefferson's. Plus, we'll have another prize pack built in for the winner. And make sure you got some time. Still got some time. You're going to submit a bracket anyway. You might as well join our bracket challenge. But we know today, two of the locals are playing. MU taking on Drake. Let's start there. That's the game in Wichita. I know a lot of you are maybe a little about an hour or so away from driving
down. Listening right now.
Yeah. I know there's a lot of people. I talked to a couple people that are leaving around 1 o'clock this afternoon. I got some family members that are heading down to the game that went to undergrad at Drake, so they're excited to head down there to Wichita for the game. And Wichita's waited like 7 years for this thing. They were hoping, obviously, at one point they were going to have KU and MU there or something, but I think they got to be happy with the pod. for Missouri, they're 6.5-point favorites against Drake. Let's talk about this game a little bit more specifically, because in about 30 minutes, we'll be joined by Tim Murray from VSiN to talk betting for both these games specifically. But we all know this is a fascinating matchup because of the contrast in styles, as we said on Monday. You know, what gives here? What wins out? You know, Missouri, one of the better offenses in the country. Drake, one of the better defenses. Pace of play, you're going to be slower. They're fine playing this game in the low 60s. That's great for Drake if it's in the low 60s. I'm not saying they can't score 80, but that's the style of game they want.
The game to
Missouri wants to run, And when I look at this, obviously one of them are going to win out, but I struggle, despite all the noise around Drake over the last week or so, and what a story it is. If Missouri can get out to a nice start, and I'm not, like every team wants to have a nice start, but I mean specifically because of the style of play, if Missouri can control the game early and be out ahead by more than two possessions or three possessions and build a little cushion, that's a big problem for Drake more than it would be for other teams because of the pace of play that Drake wants to play. Now, on the flip side, if it's tight, and Missouri's getting limited possessions, which is what Drake wants to create, that's how you get the upset tonight, and that's how Drake would ultimately win. But I will be picking Missouri in this game, both in brackets and from a betting perspective. I think Missouri wins comfortably, as in they cover 6.5.
Look, I guess I understand that like an entire team's history does not necessarily factor into this matchup or that matchup, so I'll talk a bit about the matchup in a second. But if I'm Missouri, I am once again nervous as hell. Since 2010, this is a massive sample. This is a 15-year tournament sample for this team. Missouri is just as likely to get knocked out by a 15 seed than to win a single game in the NCAA tournament and play in the round of 32. Okay? Like, they constantly come to the tournament and disappoint. As a 2 seed a couple of times, right? Not, and obviously the time they lost to the 15 seed, they weren't a 2 seed. They were,
so you're saying nervous as a Missouri fan, not as like the yeah, you're saying from a fan perspective.
This is not a good tournament team, flat out. Not for all the normal jokes we make, like they've never been to a Final Four. They're just a bad tournament team. Every time Missouri gets to the tournament, they don't play all that great. They've won 2 games in the last 15 years, and in those 2 games, they lost the next one to a number 2 seed, respectable, and the other one to the 15-seeded Princeton 2 years ago, under this coach, mind you, who came up short in a tournament. And so, yeah, that part would scare me. The question I have for Drake is, can they take advantage of Missouri's poor defense, or as poor defenses of late? So if they are going to limit the possessions, I don't think they can just be their normal amount of efficiency in those possessions. I think they're going to have to score even at a higher rate than normal. And I guess the one thing that always hangs up, and this is why I also think Missouri's winning the game, the one thing I can't get past is, oh, people want to talk about Drake like they're the only team who's allowed to enforce their tempo or the style of play. Missouri's been forcing their tempo on teams all year, even teams that they've lost to or beaten.
Right.
Like they got into a running match with Alabama. Alabama doesn't play in the 110s every game.
No, but Alabama's defense stinks.
They got themselves into like an absolute track meet with a couple of teams over the course of this year that aren't necessarily even track meet teams. And so does Drake try to just shoot the lights out of the building? Do they go into this? Well, the fact that I thought it was really smart of them to sit Mitchell, because as Jared Sutton pointed out yesterday, he could have played in that game against Florida. They could have risked it, maybe made his knee a little more sore, but instead they're like, no, if we win this game, I guess we move to the 5 seed line. Let's just say on the 6. Let's take our odds there. And I'm sure they would have preferred a team other than Drake. But I'll point out that on KenPom, net ratings, and every other advanced metric you want, this is the worst 11 seed because Drake hasn't played anybody. Like, they just haven't played anybody. So, yeah, like, you're getting the worst version, essentially, of an 11.
We know how these opening round games play out. If it's the second half and there's 8 minutes to go and this thing is a possession or two apart, that's when everything starts to tighten up a little bit, right?
And that favors Drake, in my opinion.
Of course, absolutely.
You'd rather just be up 8-10 and then Drake have to find buckets in droves.
And I know, like, every team wants to be up 8-10. But what we're saying is this matchup in particular, because of the way Drake plays, it could be more problematic for them if they get behind versus some other teams. Now, just some history with how Drake fares in the tournament. They've played 5 tournament games since the seeding era began. They're 0-5 against the spread in those games. 4 of them came in round of 64. To our point about the pace of play, if you were looking at a different way to approach this game, even from a betting angle, from a non-spread but a total, Drake has played 9 games this year with a total of 135 points or more, and the under is 7-2 in those games. This game would qualify for that as well. So in games that have a total around what we're talking about, the under is 7-2. If the game goes under, you would think that favors Drake in this matchup. If the game goes over, you would think that's a good thing for the Missouri Tigers.
The Tigers defense is playing okay, right? I mean, if it goes under that total,
They just have not shut down very often, teams very often. For Drake, the reason why the total is relevant, when Drake has games 135 points or under, they're 7-0 straight up as winners and 6-1 against the spread. Now, we can talk about competition. Have they played a team like Missouri? No. Have they played tournament teams this year? Yeah. But they have not played a team like Missouri. And yeah, I believe Missouri is going to go on in advance to a second game in Wichita on Saturday. And unfortunately, we'll have to hear Carrington tomorrow talk about the Missouri Tigers winning.
But you're disappointed in that? You guys could still, it's not too late. You could decide which team's going further. Which, I guess, second round matchup do you like between the two teams better? Kansas against St. John's. St. John's can't shoot a three.
It is a better, is not just me saying on the Kansas side. I think Missouri's winning tomorrow, but I think Texas Tech would ultimately beat Missouri. And I would give Kansas a better chance to beat St. John's. And I know you're like, that's stupid. Missouri's a better team. It's matchups. It's all about matchups this time of the year. And to what you were kind of
alluding
to.
Kansas can't guard the three-point line. St. John's can't shoot the three. Yeah.
Now they got to get past Arkansas. Let's get to that game then, because Kansas is going to play about 20 minutes before Missouri does. They're all the way out in Providence, Rhode Island. I'll be curious just to see what the hell the atmosphere is like there and how many fans show up from a KU and Arkansas perspective. Kansas, 4.5-point favorites in this game. Coach Cal, like, there's a lot on the legacy end for him, too. The way his career is ending at this point in time. You know, he's 1-2 in the last couple first-round games, is Coach Cal. We all know what happened last year for Kentucky. This year's Arkansas team, the big news yesterday and stuff is that, all right, one of their star players they were expecting to get back is not going to be back in time, and the other hasn't played in a month and a half, and so how do you work him in? You're not going to just automatically give him 30 minutes just like that. But what Kansas team shows up? Like, what Kansas team is showing up? Is Hunter Dickinson showing up and looking like Hunter Dickinson?
Is Zeke Mayo going to look like he did in the Big 12 tournament?
If Hunter Dickinson is shut down, and I know these teams scrimmaged each other or had the charity game all the way back in November, and Kansas got beat up. Now, these are much different teams than they were at that point in time.
Sure.
But Kansas got beat up by Arkansas back then. And yesterday, I was listening to some of the audio from both Cal and self, and you can take however much you want to take from those press conferences, but how much do you buy into that? Hey, I can show my team, we got our ass kicked by this team, even in an exhibition game. Here's what they bullied us. You're not taking Arkansas for granted, right? If you're Kansas, especially because you played them earlier in an exhibition for charity and they beat you pretty good.
I guess the way I view this is I don't fear Calipari the way I used to as a coach. Like, facing him in an NCAA tournament, I felt like you still it meant you were like, you were in trouble, right? The damage was coming. And maybe it's just because they had some bad finishes those couple of years and that last year there at Kentucky. And eventually he decided to go to Arkansas, which is still wild when you think about it. I mean, I can't remember any other instance in which a coach left one of the 5 biggest programs in the country and instead just took a job at like a middle level university. And look, Arkansas is relevant this year. They made an NCAA tournament. They are certainly not a bad team. I know that Jared said that it also matters with Zeke Mayo. I just feel like Kansas never wins any game in which Hunter Dickinson is bad. They need too much, because here's the problem with Kansas, and it continues to be the problem, is that if Hunter Dickinson doesn't score, then who is? Like, if Hunter Dickinson doesn't put up 15 to 24 points, just real quick, where are you planning on getting those points? And that is inevitably their problem, is that so many of their bad offensive games, and they've got a lot of them on the record, come in games in which Hunter Dickinson doesn't score. I also still think Kansas is going to win today, because I'm not blown away by what Arkansas brings to the table either, but that's always like where they're kind of stuck in this rut.
Well, it's that and it's the turnovers. They struggle to force them on the defensive end, and we know offensively they can have multiple possessions in a row where they get out of sync, and all of a sudden they have turnovers. We're going to talk to Matt Tate a little bit later on in the show today. He, of course, has covered the Jayhawks for a long time, going back to his KUSports.com days. He now does great work for KU-specific side as well, R1-S1, and so he's going to join us a little bit later on in the program. We want to get his perspective. That'll actually be coming up in the 1 o'clock hour today. He writes for Wave the Weed and R1-S1 KU, and it'll be good to get some insight. I believe he's up in Providence right now.
Can Kansas, versus Missouri, right? I just told you Missouri's track record. They've made it to the second round twice in the last 15 years. A win for them is like you feel really good about yourself. Are Kansas fans like I'm asking you as a Kansas fan because the ones I've interacted with don't seem to they seem to have lost interest in this Kansas team to the point that they wouldn't even be satisfied if they beat Arkansas.
Like well, it wouldn't yeah, no feel Kansas fans good. Are going to be satisfied with just one win in a tournament.
I guess, but like when you're a 7 seed, one win in a tournament is not that all bad.
That's
of
not
a
the
showing,
standard.
You know?
That's not the standard of the program. I mean, for maybe I'm not speaking for the majority of KU fans. I'll tell you this: it has been a brutal season by their standard and everything. But for me, it's like got to win at least one. Got to win at least one. But I don't think anybody's going to be satisfied if Kansas just wins one game in the tournament. Now, satisfied versus expectation. I think most Kansas fans are expecting them to win one game and be done. One and done. But satisfied? No, I think satisfied is getting to the Sweet 16 based off of how this team has performed.
A Sweet 16 trip would feel like a, not even kidding,
big win.
Massive win. Like somehow turning this relative turd of a season by Kansas standards into a Sweet 16 trip would feel, look, they don't hang banners at Allen Fieldhouse for Sweet 16 trips, nor should they. They got enough history and circumstance that does not necessitate, or maybe they do, I'm just, they shouldn't, but like that necessitate that kind of action. But that would feel like a, you know what, you would feel even better going into next year knowing they got the number one recruit in the country. Somehow he drug this thing from the depths of the ocean back into a Sweet 16. But it's also weird because they were preseason number one. And I know you don't care about preseason ratings.
Yeah, I definitely don't.
But there's lots of people who do.
Yeah.
This was the preseason number one team. And we're just being like, is there any miracle in which exists that they end up in a Sweet 16 game? This game and Missouri's game, it's will determine how I feel about their chances to get past the 2 and 3 seeds they'll be facing.
Oh, for sure.
Tech or, St. John's most likely.
I think it has no bearing on next season, though. That's the only part where I'll push back on.
I'm just saying, as far as, like, self being able to get something out of this team.
I guess, but, I mean, next year's team is literally, I mean, there's going to be maybe one player left. I mean, honestly, there might be one player left on the team next year.
It's more for Dennis Gates, I think, than it does Bill Self, for sure.
Maybe two?
Yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying. Like, get a lot out of this team as much in the tournament. But next year's team, whatever they like, they could be one and done. They could go and get to the Final Four. It has zero bearing on next year's
team.
It's
a coaching thing, not a player's thing to me. Does that make sense? Yeah, there's a lot of people who have somehow quickly lost faith that Bill Self can't handle
that's
the
crazy.
NIL period. Yeah, but that's like this is like the narrative part. I don't disagree with... Maybe it's a false narrative, but the narrative on Bill Self now is maybe he lost it in NIL. Maybe he doesn't know how to handle these players or how to recruit these players or keep them or choose the right players in the portal because he had a bad year in the portal and he knows it. There's no mystery in it. The team he had built this year wasn't good enough. On paper, it was. That's why they were the preseason number one team. But like in the end, they were still stuck in this like no man's land of... I mean, how long did it take us to figure out that Kansas wasn't going to be very good? Wasn't that first month when they were beating like Duke and Michigan State?
And North Carolina.
North Carolina. It wasn't then. It must have been like once they got to Big 12 play, we're like, uh-oh.
Oh, it was a stretch of games when they had the Creighton game as well. I know Creighton's a tournament team, but when they lost at Creighton, you're like, okay. And then obviously the Missouri game, but.
God, they some of those games, it's not that they lost. It's that they played poorly and they weren't really close in the game. They played a lot of tournament teams this year. There's no doubt about that. So they are battle tested, but I don't know. I don't know why I feel so good. Maybe it's because we're in the local market. I've watched KU and MU a lot. The teams that they're facing, I actually think are decent matchups for them, considering anybody they could have drawn.
It's because it's the tournament. Like it's because it's the tournament, and what happened in January doesn't matter. It's matchup driven at this point. Now, what happened in January matters how if you think they're going to go on a deep run and their path to. To get into a Sweet 16 or an Elite Eight or a Final Four is dictated a lot, of course, by what you do or everything by what you do earlier. But right now we're just talking game by game, matchup to matchup. And I think both teams could have done way worse with opening round matchups. There's flaws on all four teams we're talking about today. Yeah. Drake and MU and Kansas and Arkansas. They're all flawed. It's the reason why they're seated where they are. But yeah, man, there's today is the start of 4 days of some of the best days of the entire year. I can't wait. We got it. We'll figure it out maybe in the next segment after we talk to Tim Murray from VSiN. But I think we got to do a show bet for like the first half of this Creighton Louisville game because that's going
to
start during
our
show.
Juice early.
Yeah, that way we get it paid off during the show too. You know,
so we make a second bet.
We can't roll over.
You know,
please gamble responsibly today and this weekend.
So you guys think that Missouri and KU both win?
I do. Do you? Where are you at, Drew?
I think Missouri loses.
Okay.
I think KU wins. Oh,
okay. So what's your where are you at on the what is it about Drake in the Missouri game?
I think it's just the unknown. I think of Missouri playing against a team that their defensive mojo is what they do. Like Drake is known for that, and I know that they're mid-major, but it was going to be the same conversation to me if they played VCU. If Missouri or KU played VCU of, hey, this team is very good defensively. This is what they do. They throw a lot at you. They throw different defensive schemes that you might not see. They press. They do everything. How does Missouri handle that sort of a thing where they're not used to that sort of play style? I think it can catch up to them, and that's why I think Drake's a popular pick. That's why I think VCU is a popular pick as well to pull those upsets off because they can surprise those major teams that aren't used to maybe that sort of a style of play.
I'm not saying it never happens or not, but I guess I always view that as being a bigger thing or harder thing to prepare for. For one, teams that aren't as good offensively as Missouri is offensively, and also in the two-day turnaround. Like, Missouri has had 5 days to grind Drake tape over the press stuff, Gold. And so, like, part of me thinks they'll find a way to break that based on just the sheer number of people they have who can score for them. And, sure. Again, really good guard play, really good forward play. So, like, good guard play is how you break a press quickly, easily, get up and down the court. I feel like it might show cracks. I feel like it's going to show cracks early and that Drake's going to get out of their game kind of fast. And when that happens and everything speeds up,
yeah,
I'm more comfortable than Missouri over Drake than the other way around, than Kansas over Arkansas.
What's the we'll of course give our Final Four stuff predictions and everything and before we turn in our brackets in the 11 o'clock hour today. Do you guys have, other than KU Arkansas, IMU Drake, we're of course glued to those games tonight. Is there another game that you guys are most interested in, whether it's starting in the early slate, whether it's later
today
on
tonight,
just today.
Okay.
Yeah, just today. Is there another game that has your attention? Maybe you think a team's on major upset watch. Just you think it's just going to be a really fun game. Is there another one for you for the text line as well, 913-586-7965, that you guys are really excited about? I actually think this first game.
it's one of the better ones.
I really think even though it's the first one out of the gate and you never know what you're going to expect, 8-9 matchup, Creighton-Louisville, most people think they both got underseeded here, so teams that were better than their seed. This in Lexington should be a good atmosphere for Louisville. Louisville's a great story this year. We know Creighton's had a lot of success overall the last, 7 years now, I guess, has been with Greg McDermott, if not more than that. I think this is going to be a really good game to start us off coming up about less than an hour.
So late one tonight, I really like Michigan, UC San Diego because
it's an upset. I
feel like people always fall in love with the team who goes through their tournament champ. Like they made it all the way through the Big Ten championship. Here comes the run in the NCAA tournament, and they're forgetting they just had to play 4 games in 4 days, come back and play on a Thursday and still be on. They just played their 4 best games. They were on the whole time. One off game, and then those things happen. So like that one's pretty high on my list. I'll say the other 8-9 game. I'm always interested in teams that have had a lot of tournament success over the last 10 years who end up in middle seeding. So like Gonzaga. I'm always immediately interested in like, this is a team who's been like a top 4 seed a bunch and now they're stuck in a middle seed kind of how they do. So I think 8-9 matchups are just good this year. Maybe that's what it is.
Obviously, you know, the Wisconsin Badgers play, so I'm keen in on that.
You got
matchup.
Your Badger gear on today.
Yeah, I got it.
You didn't wear
on
your Kansas gear. I was surprised.
No Kansas gear. Right. I'll wear it later on tonight when I go watch the game. But tomorrow I'll definitely have it on. I'll definitely have it on when they win.
So there's 2 other games besides the ones that you guys mentioned in the Wisconsin one. They kind of actually go back to back. McNeese and Clemson. That game, a lot of people pick McNeese. We'll wait, of course.
I do have McNeese as an upset
the
pick.
NC State job. And then VCU and BYU shortly afterwards. I think those are 2 matchups where we could see either some upsets or we could see just really good games in general.
Did they just decide to put the 6-11? Like, what if we had 2 very conflicting styles on a basketball court at the same time? Because BYU is like, let's light it up from 3. Let's score. Let's get up and run a little bit. And VCU, as you mentioned earlier, does some of this drag it out, slow down the game nonsense. That's 2 6-11s where it's like, all right, these 2 styles are very different. Good luck. Let's see which one works out on the other.
Reminder, schedule real quick, just a couple of the games leased over the first window. So Creighton-Louisville, 11:15, tip-off. That game is on CBS as well. We'll be keeping an eye on that. Then the next game of the day is the 13-seed High Point versus 4-seed Purdue, 11:40 on True TV. Then the second window, I guess, or in the early window, the second set of games, I should say, 14-seed Montana will take on 3-seed Wisconsin. That's at 12:30. Then at 1 o'clock, our first number 1 seed of the tournament will get an action. Houston taking on SIU Edwardsville, the 16 seed. And then we get to the later window. That's where you get Georgia, Gonzaga, Tennessee, Wofford, and then we get to the two games we already talked about in Arkansas, Kansas, and Missouri, and Drake.
Only thing that interests me in Tennessee, Wofford is they got a big guy who shoots granny
style.
Yeah,
the free throws, it's incredible.
That is legitimately the only thing that interests me in that game is they got a big man who shoots his free throws granny style.
Yeah.
You're a hero of the tournament. Could be
Kyler Filewich or whatever, I believe is his. Kyler Filewich.
Who do you think could be the hero of the tourney, Drew?
The Jack Golke, if you will. Mm-hmm.
Oakland last year.
At High Point plays Purdue today.
Mm-hmm.
And High Point has the guy, I can't remember his name. He was mean mugging a little bit after he got an and-one. And everybody was talking about him. Where is he at?
Trey Benham's or whatever? Trey Benham.
Yes, I think so. But anyways, I think High Point could be a team that surprises Purdue. They got three guys that average 13 or more points a game. They got a lot of players that they utilize. So.
Did you guys see all the stuff about High Point? Like just
and Purdue's
the university.
Overseeded.
So High Point University is one of the most fascinating universities, generally speaking. One, they're just well regarded as being like incredibly run. But some of the people like Barstool and some other people like digging into like what about High Point? Why is it ranked one of these like premier schools to like?
It's in North Carolina, by the way.
They take care of people. They have a free ice cream truck all the time, and people figure that out. It's like sits in all these, like it's got like seven lakes, so it kind of looks like
the campus is beautiful. Yeah,
it looks like Disney World almost in a lot of ways. They have a not kidding fine dining restaurant that you can visit for free once a month because they want to teach kids how to like work in a business setting or in a high end setting. So like once a month, Gold, you go to High Point, you go sit and have fancy dinner at the nice restaurant, so you learn how to like. Not act like a dope, even though you're a college kid outside of it.
Here's their slogan: High Point University, the premier life skills university. That's what they're
teaching life skills, man.
Not a bad idea. Not a bad idea.
So High Point is apparently
you sending your kids there
Cody? To High Point.
Yep, is that already the move?
Oh, tuition? Can I get a
right now? I'm sure tuition won't go up by the time they're there. Right now, it's only $49,000 for incoming freshmen. Yeah.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
God,
not bad, you know.
Look, I save a
little
money.
But at least you get the free fine dining meal once a month, you know, for $49,000 a year. Not a bad trade-off, yeah. Hell of a deal they're giving you.
It's more than we got at Butler.
I saw that at Harvard. Yeah. I'm going to have to just get one of my kids in Harvard. Both my kids in Harvard. They're going to...
I saw that.
If people make less than a certain amount of money, they can just go there for free. That's what I really need. I'm going to have to hope my kids get scholarships, man. $200,000 for a four-year education. Can you at least do, like, 2 years of community college? Then maybe just the back end at that?
Yeah,
one of your kids is going to be like, you know, Princeton looks really good. You know,
Princeton.
They're
not going there unless they get scholarships.
Don't like crimson more than orange. You know, crimson looks nice. You think I
look bad asking for $15 for major saver card so my kid can go on this limo ride? Wait till I got to pay a Princeton tuition. I'm going to need $10,009.65 heroes so we can pay the bill this month.
Better hit that 24-leg parlay today, Cody. You better hit the 24-leg college basketball parlay. Thinking of parlays and how to bet this. Coming up next, we're heading out to Vegas. We're talking to Tim Murray of VSiN, get some of his best bets. We'll also talk a little Royals baseball. Coming up next here on Cody and Gold.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Cool. All right, we're about 40 minutes away from the first game of today's action tipping off. Creighton and Louisville will also give our final picks for the Final Four coming up in a half hour. Someone that might help us with that a little bit is going to join us here in just a second. But I want to remind you guys to join the Cody Engel Bracket Challenge. Some of you have said, hey, why does it still say incomplete after I fill out the bracket? You got to make sure you hit the submit button. Just because you click the teams through the bracket, if you hit the back button or you just tab out or close the tab, you got to hit submit. That'll take care of it. Make sure you do that. You have about 40 minutes left to submit your Cody and Gold bracket for our bracket challenge. But let's head out to Las Vegas. Keep talking about this tournament with Tim Murray from VSiN. We've had him on the show a couple times when we've been out in Vegas, out at Circa. Of course, that's where the VSiN studios are as well. Tim, great to have you on the show, man. What's today like for you? I mean, are you just in front of a sports book or you got a setup at home? How's it all set up for you?
A little bit of both. I'll be on the air a little bit later on tonight. So there will be plenty of time in the sports book for taking that all in. But yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun taking it in. And I'll be at home first. Might stop by a different sports book on the way into work and then on the air starting at 6 o'clock Central.
I wanted to start just with the locals for us, obviously, and then we can talk more broadly. But the first one tonight locally is Kansas and Arkansas. Kansas has been so up and down this season. I guess so has Arkansas. The Jayhawks sitting there as 4.5-point favorites. What do you make of this matchup, and how are you betting it?
Yeah, this is a game that I think is so intriguing in so many facets. Obviously, you start with the two coaches, Hall of Fame coaches, in Coach Cal and Bill Self, obviously. And then you look at kind of the preseason expectations of both of these teams and how they both underachieved. Arkansas was a preseason top 25 team and for a good chunk of the year thought they wouldn't be in the NCAA tournament. And then on Kansas, on the flip side, as you guys all know, preseason number one team and now being a 7 seed is certainly a bit disappointing. So, you know, it's interesting. Over at VSiN.com, you could check out, you know, how people are betting every single game. And this is courtesy of DraftKings. But believe it or not, the public is enticed by Arkansas here. 77% of the bets are on the Arkansas Razorbacks. You know, I actually personally, and, you know, I know this is crazy, I actually have not bet this game. I look at this game, and I've had a love-hate relationship with Arkansas this year from a betting standpoint, where I look at this team and I'm like, you know, I thought they were going to be better in SEC play early on. I was able to pick some spots as the season went on. But the curiosity I have, guys, with this Arkansas team is, you know, the return of Boogie Fland, who is the most talented player on their roster. But early on in SEC play, they weren't really playing all that well with him. He gets hurt. And then John L. Davis, the transfer from FAU that you might remember from that magical run to the Final Four, kind of stepped up and really became the leader of that team as they started to have some success. So, you know, if I had to pick it in a bracket, I would pick Kansas to move on. I know they're the favorite there. From a betting standpoint, I think I would still lean Kansas a little bit in this particular spot. I just don't know really what to expect from Arkansas. Their second best player, Adu Thiro, is out for this game, so I think that's a big loss for Arkansas. They did not have him in the SEC tournament there, so I think this is a fascinating one, no doubt. I think people are excited to see the possibility of one of these two coaches going up against Rick Pitino in the second round.
Yeah.
But I'm not just saying it because I'm on with you guys. I do think Kansas should take care of business in this one.
What about the other side on the Missouri end? Is this one of those, like, I'm curious what you think about the spread, but also for two teams, which way do you typically lean when it's here's one team who wants to be slow and play defense and those things, and Missouri, who loved nothing more probably than to score 80 today. So, like, do we just veer away from the totals because we don't know? How do you feel about the Missouri game?
Yeah, I love this game from a schematic standpoint. As you pointed out, you've got Drake, who is dead last in adjusted tempo as well as possession length. This team is an absolute grinder of a team. And then on the flip side, you've got a top five offense in Missouri who's going to want to get up and go. And it's funny, I've got a couple of buddies, shockingly, I know, in the business that went to Missouri because of the great
they always do
school.
Yep.
Yeah. And I've been talking to them about, you know, this particular game. And look, it's become, and, you know, working in the gambling space, I always get frustrated a little bit this time of year because, like, I love college basketball. I follow it very closely. And this is the week of the year that everyone becomes the expert. And Drake pops on the Missouri line on Sunday, and we're on the air, guys. And I'm like, all right, that's a spot that I'm going to want to look at the underdog. And then as the week goes on, I'm like, oh, wait, everybody seems to like Drake.
Yep.
Wonderful. This is how it plays. So as I always joke, this is the time of year where or the time of the week that I already hate all my picks and all my bets. But I did write this game up for our betting guide, guys, and I did take Drake. Now, full disclosure, I took Drake 2 years ago, and a little walk down memory lane.
That didn't
led
go great.
By eight with 5 minutes to go and lost by, I believe it was seven to Miami, got outscored 16-1. And then last year, they were up by, I think, seven or eight. At the under eight media timeout and blew that lead. So I'm fully anticipating Drake to completely melt down and lose me this bet. But I think this comes down to how the game is played from a pace standpoint. Can Missouri kind of weather the storm, so to speak? Because I'm sure, as you guys have talked about this week, guys, it is a full on stylistic difference, and if Missouri is able to play their game, I think they win this game, and I think they win this game potentially going away. But I think Drake can potentially drag them into the mud. I think Ben McCollum, even though he's never been in the NCAA tournament on the Division I side, won multiple national championships at Northwest Missouri State. So I took the 6.5. It certainly feels very trendy. I think my biggest nightmare is that Mark Mitchell just absolutely goes nuts and just dunks on Drake nonstop, and Missouri runs away and hides. But I certainly think this is one of the more intriguing games of the opening round, guys. And I did take the points with the Drake Bulldogs here, +6.5.
We're talking to Tim Murray of VSiN. Hopefully we got some of that feedback cleared up for you. I know there was some issue there as we're talking to Tim. What about just your best bet for today? Is there, we asked about the locals, but is there just a game and a bet you just absolutely love today and you think that the line is completely wrong?
Well, as I said, I hate every bet that I've now currently made. I'll give you a situation that I really liked when the bracket came out. It was actually two teams that I was looking to back. And then I always, and you guys were there, I don't know if both of you were in attendance at the BYU-Iowa State game, but I look at BYU and I'm looking at this team and I'm like, you know what, this is going to be a team that people are going to think can make a run to the Elite Eight. And maybe they can with the way they shoot and the way they get to the rim, but this VCU team is really good and maybe a little bit under the radar. Now, I think the concern I have here for VCU, as I do with Michigan and Wisconsin, teams who are playing today, that these teams played on Sunday, and now they have the quick turnaround. VCU's in elevation in Denver, but I do like VCU. I texted a sportsbook director yesterday, guys, and once again, the public can very well win bets. It's not like the public always loses. Now, they lose more than they win, so it's worth noting that. But this particular sportsbook here in Vegas said their two biggest needs on Thursday were going to be UC San Diego and VCU. And those were the two teams that they were going to look at. So I'll run through those two games quickly that I bet both of them. I took VCU +3 against BYU. And then UC San Diego, guys, I saw in person on Saturday night here in Las Vegas. And, you know, this is a great story. A lot of D2 transfers on this roster. The best cover team in college basketball. And now I understand that people will be looking at Michigan and the size that they have and how they could take advantage of that, which is totally fair. Danny Wolf, the Yale transfer, Vlad Golden, the transfer from FAU, are both enormous humans. They're both 7-footers. And UC San Diego doesn't have anyone north of 6'8". But this is a UC San Diego team that can light it up from the outside. They've got two big-time three-point shooters, and then they've got Aniwa Tate Jones, the New Zealander, who just is the straw that stirs the drink. He gets into the paint. He's number one in the country in free throw attempts this year, and I think tonight, if you like that late-night action and that last game of the evening type of feel, I think that's going to be a phenomenal game. And, you know, Michigan's a team that just did not win outside of their win over Purdue in the first round of the Big Ten tournament. They just don't really win by margin. I think this is going to be a grinder, and I think UC San Diego, and I'll say this, you know, we live in a bubble, at least I do, from a gambling standpoint. So many of us are on UC San Diego, and it's like, oh, man, it's too trendy.
Yep.
Well, then you talk to sports books, and everybody seems to be on Michigan. So if I had to give you two for today, there's a couple that I like, but I think UC San Diego late night, the Tritons against Michigan, is going to be one heck of a game and an opportunity for them to pull off that outright upset.
Since we're going to be on the air, we want a little like juice on it. We were thinking about the first half line for Louisville. -1.5. What do you think? Is that a sucker bet if we're trying to get some action here in this first game?
Yeah, this game. So I have like a personal philosophy that I've adopted during college football season where I really try to avoid betting the early window games because there's nothing worse as a bettor to lose the first game and then you're just angry the whole day because that first bet lost. I would probably be on the opposite side of you on this one, with Creighton plus the points. You know, looking at, you know, betting splits, it does feel like this is a pretty popular play, looking at Louisville here. Now, I'll point this out real quickly, and I'm not trying to avoid your question, but, there's a lot of belief, hey, you got to play first half unders in the NCAA tournament. It's a cash cow. And sometimes it is, but With first four just unfolded, guys. The over hit all four times, and the first four and the first half under hitting all four games too. So, you know, trends can be your friends in gambling until they aren't, right? I mean, the Mountain West, you look at some of their numbers, they're just brutal against the point spread. I think the Big Sky is terrible against the point spread. Montana playing Wisconsin later today. But yeah, I totally respect the willingness to take a little sweat there. I think I'll say this, guys. I think the Rupp Arena, hey, Louisville's going to have a home court thing, I think that's getting a little bit overblown here. So I actually kind of went against the grain. I took a little on Creighton, but as I said, I really wanted to stay off this game because there's nothing worse than starting the day with a big L and then you're just fighting your way out of that hole.
All right, real quick, last one for you, Tim. What about to cut down the nets in San Antonio or maybe a futures bet to make the Final Four? Do you have one for us?
Yeah, so the one futures bet that I put in this week was Texas Tech to win their region. So they're in West region. That's the region occupied by Florida, a region obviously that Kansas is a part of. So please don't hate me, everyone.
No, you're good. I got Texas Tech in the national title game, so that's fine with me.
Yeah, so I just... It feels like, guys, it's pretty crazy to see the drastic shift. And look, Florida, maybe this is, you know, a UConn from 2 years ago. If you remember that, UConn got hot at the end of the year and then just steamrolled everybody en route to the national championship. Last year, they were pretty much good from start to finish and also steamrolled everybody. This is an absolutely loaded and ridiculous region when you've got Florida, arguably the hottest team in the country. You've got UConn, the two-time defending champ. You've got the hottest mid-major in Colorado State. You've got a really good team in Maryland with an elite starting lineup that lacks depth. You've got maybe the best, from a talent standpoint, group of five in there in Memphis. You've got a couple unique type of squads from the mid-majors in Drake that we already talked about. You've got, you know, these coaching matches. I mean, the West has got everything you could ask for, including both the local teams for you guys in Missouri and Kansas. But I think Texas Tech is getting healthier, and I think at around +550, 6-1, to me, guys, I think it is worth a play because I think you're getting a team in Texas Tech that profiles as an elite team, but because there's Florida and because there's St. John's and because there's Maryland and because there's UConn, I think you're getting a little bit of a value play there. So Texas Tech to win their region was the one that I played with. I do think at the end of the day, and I think it's a little bit chalky, I think these teams are really elite from the top down. So I had to go against Florida because it felt like that became the really trendy play. I think you go Duke or Houston. At the end of the day, in my bracket, I picked Duke to win the title. I did not put a futures bet on that because they are the betting favorite right now. But I think Houston also getting slept on a little bit. I think people remember last year, oh, this team bowed out in the Sweet 16. Well, yeah, a lot of teams would do that if Jamal Shedd gets hurt and during the game. So from a shooting standpoint, this is one of, if not the best team that Kelvin Sampson's had, elite defensively. I know a second round match against Gonzaga is pretty crazy considering Gonzaga profiles as a top 10 team per KenPom and Bart Torvik. But I think at the end of the day, if I'm going to make one futures play, it's Texas Tech to win the West region at around 550 or 6-1.
There we go. Tim Murray from VSiN out in Vegas. Enjoy the action. Best of luck with the bets, man. Thanks for the insight.
Always appreciate it, fellas. See ya.
There you go. Good stuff from Ten Murray, not just about the entire bracket, but obviously locally, his thoughts on Kansas, Arkansas, Drake, Missouri. We, coming up in about 12 minutes, we'll go through some of our thoughts on the final four picks as well. I think I like the fact what he said about Texas Tech. Makes me feel a little bit better about my spoiler.
They're getting told healthy,
you,
too.
I think I have Texas Tech making the final four and going to the national title game, so we'll see if they can stay healthy throughout the tournament. He agreed with you on your theory about the quick turnaround for some of the Big Ten teams, or the I should say Michigan in particular, playing on a Thursday after playing on a Sunday.
Wisconsin Badgers,
yeah,
too.
He said
that. It's weird. Four teams in that region played on Sunday. VCU played on Sunday. Wisconsin played on Sunday. And then I forget there's somebody else who also played on Sunday.
Yeah. There's a couple teams. You and I, it'll be fun later on in the day. You and I are on completely opposite sides of this BYU-VCU thing. He's with you on VCU. I like BYU. The altitude is another fair point to factor into this game as well. That would favor BYU. So we got plenty more to talk on the tournament end. Reminder, you have, 20 minutes or so roughly left
people been texting
to get in our bracket challenge.
Final chances. I'm going to be
honest.
This is
it. Submit your bracket.
He's going to keep firing them off as fast as he can.
You got 20 minutes to get in our Cody and Gold bracket challenge. Free wings for a year for the winner from our friends at Jefferson's. Plus, we'll put together a prize pack in addition to that.
Let's get to 400 brackets. We're almost there.
We're almost to 400. Some of you have had issues with the link. You can DM Drew on Twitter at DrewBNix. Give him a follow as well. Drew's follower count has gone up because of this bracket challenge.
Yes, thank you.
If you text in, we'll send you the link. I know some of you, for whatever reason, have not got it. We are trying to get you the link. If you have joined the bracket challenge and haven't submitted your bracket, don't be that person. Don't be that person. Go ahead and hit submit when you fill out the bracket. So you're not upset with yourself when you would have texted in a week from now and say, you would have had a great bracket, but you forgot to hit the submit button. Go ahead and hit submit. Get that taken care of. But let's pivot away from college hoops just for like 8 minutes or so. Then I promise we're getting right back into it. There's some Royals props that are out there when it comes to expectations. We went through yesterday what we expect this offense to be.
Sure.
Of course, for the offense to be what you were talking about, well,
Bobby 10th best in baseball. Bobby is what
Wood,
I want.
Yeah, Bobby Wood Jr. gonna have to have a huge year. Obviously, you and I both think he's gonna win MVP this year. It's gonna happen. This is the year. Well, offshore, there's some total batting average numbers and home run numbers for him. Over under 300 batting average. Last year there was seven players that hit over 300.
Correct.
In all baseball. Now Bobby was one of them. Right.
He hit 336. He led all of Major League Baseball in batting.
Crazy.
Average.
So the over under is 300. It sounds like an obvious over, but
he hit 276 the year before.
But he could also hit 297 and you're upset that he missed it by a hit, you know, or two hits, whatever that would come out to be at the end of the season. The one that stood out to me out of all these player props, I don't know, I'm not going to go through every single one, but you have the list in front of you too, Cody.
I do.
Vinny Pasquantino, home run total, over under 18.5. If you think he's healthy and he can make it 130 plus games, 18.5 seems low. I told you, I think he can push 20, you know, push 30 homers this year. So based on that, you know, I love the over 18.5 on Vinny.
Well, and his RBI total's only 82.5. And I'm not saying like RBI is not like a variable stat, right? That we shouldn't expect going into a year that there's a chance Vinny's numbers could move a little bit or come out of those or whatever it is. But like 82.5, he had that by like August 1st last year. And more importantly for him versus some other RBI guys is he's a sack fly guy. He's a ground ball. Like he is he thinks about how I'm going to get this run home, not how I'm going to hit a homer to get all these runs home. He is definitely of the old school RBI mindset. So when, and these are offshore.
Yes.
So when we can officially bet some season
some of them are out there.
Some of them
you can find on FanDuel or wherever, but not all of them, right? But the Vinny one just seems, I mean,
that
the
seems
home run
way too low.
Salvador
Honestly,
Perez,
if I could, I'd parlay them together. Like I know you can't with player props a lot of times, but like I'd feel pretty good about 82.5 RBIs and 18.5 home runs.
The Bobby Wood Jr. steals number is tricky for me.
I'm done betting that. I've been suckered into that bet too many times and I'm out.
Yeah, last year I got burned on it. He's talked about, you know, not getting, you know, caught on base, you know, doing a little bit better job with base stealing. Vern has talked to us about this. It's not so much that they don't want him to run as much. It's just that, you know, you don't, maybe it's changed with Jonathan India on the base pass more too, and how they approach it, as you said yesterday, trying to steal third more, which then gets you the double
Bobby
steal
in particular.
But his over under steals is 34.5. I'm not saying it's an unattainable number for him, but that number is a little high for me to actually go and do a season long bet on stolen bases for Bobby Witt, asking for 35 of them. The number overall. What did he have last year? He had 31. He had 49 the year before and 30. He's capable, obviously, of getting 35.
But they don't need him to steal.
Especially if Jonathan India is on base in front of him.
And maybe stealing third base or the things in between there will somehow change his number. The problem with Bobby right now is he obviously has elite level speed. He's one of the fastest players in all of Major League Baseball. Based on, I think, first to third time or home to whatever time, he is the fastest player in all of Major League Baseball, or sprint speed and all the stuff that's come up there. He gets caught stealing a lot. Like, more than he should. Like, so his stolen base number might very well just come down to efficiency. Like, can you be caught stealing less than you were the year before? I also think at some point, and I don't know when that point is. This is also just why I wouldn't bet it. At some point in Bobby Wood Jr.'s career, they are going to decide him on the bases, if somebody puts the ball in the gap, and a million other things are the things that they care more about than him stealing bases. I also think that some of those doubles he hits and when he steals thirds after are turning into home runs eventually. And he's not going to be standing on first base or standing on second base. And more of his overall hits are going to be home runs because of the exceptional power that he possesses. And so, yeah, I don't feel like crazy about that. I'll tell you one that I almost never bet for is pitcher wins.
Yeah,
other than our guy, fluky. Jordan Lyles. Halfway through the year.
That's fluky, man.
I don't put any skin in the game on pitcher wins.
Well, because they can pitch great, and we just now I will say this year a little bit different approach with like Lugo's is over under 11 and a half wins. The bullpen being so much better, we think on paper than a year ago heading in with Estevez and Urseg and Hunter Harvey healthy and hopefully good to go. If the bullpen's better, the chance of having a great outing and getting blown by the bullpen maybe is not there the way it was a year ago. So if you think you can get 5 2/3 of an inning from Seth Lugo and he's got a 3-run lead, are you feeling better about protecting that lead this year than last year? Yeah. So maybe that's how you get there.
Let's do, you know, this is the way more fun way to do it. We're talking all these prop bets and somebody points out a bet that exists on one of the sports books where you can bet the over under 0.5. on stolen bases for Vinny Pasquantino. I thought he'd stolen two last year. Sorry for the text. I was wrong. He stole one last year, one in 2022. Says he wants to set a career. Let's put the entire show fund on over one half.
Wait for 160 game 150.
Bet over the entire show fund on a half a stolen base for Vinny Pasquantino.
It's half a stolen base for a reason.
You have to admit, it would be one of the most fun bets you've ever made.
Well, here's the only
problem.
Every
game he's standing on first, you're just wondering if this case. And the double steal for him is what you really need.
Yeah.
You need Bobby on second, stealing third, and Vinny just sneaking up for second.
It's fun, but the problem is also, it's not even a bet that you can enjoy. What I mean by that is, like, if it's like, hey, I need a home run, you know, like, it could be the most random Sunday afternoon game in August, on August 20th, and he finally just gets a double steal. They're up 12-0, and they say,
but everyone will be
whatever,
looking
you know,
for
like,
it for us, you know, not just
I
even
know.
Us.
I don't. You could bet it personally. I might
just do
it.
Something reckless with a half a stolen base for Vinny.
That's just such an ugly bet. It's just such an ugly bet to wait on.
I don't care. I kind of like ugly bets. Freakazoid bets. He stole his base. God, how long was it last year before he stole it? He stole his base. Game 107 last year against in a 9-2 win against Detroit.
Wow.
Swiped a bag. Good day that day. Couple of RBIs, you know?
Yeah. Go for it, man. Go for it. Thinking of that, when we come back, let's make our first bet as a show for the NCAA tournament. We're about 15 minutes away from the start of the tourney. Creighton, Louisville, first game out of the gate. We got the TVs flipped on. We'll get it switched over to the right station, and we'll make a first half bet. We'll decide what it is, plus give you our final four picks. Take yours as well next on Cody and Gold.